The Bible says in Acts chapter 11, verse number 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Amen. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word. God, amen. I thank you that we have a perfect word of God to read, Lord, to study, to learn, and God, to apply it to our lives. Lord, I'm so thankful for that. I pray that, God, you would just bless our church family tonight, God. God, I thank you for these people being faithful to you on a Wednesday night, Lord, and God, striving to know you better. I pray that, God, you would please help us toward that end tonight. Lord, I can't help any one of these people. I wish I could, but God, I know that you can.
Yes,
and Lord, I pray you would, through the preaching tonight, God, I pray you would just reach down through it and work in hearts, change lives, Lord, and God, make us more like you as a result, Lord. We need that, God. I pray you would help us to love you more and, God, to serve you more. We pray that for our group in New Jersey, Lord, that you would give them a great service tonight.
Amen.
And, God, also tomorrow, I believe the conference continues. We just pray you would speak to hearts in a powerful way.
Amen.
And, God, that you would encourage our people, Lord. We thank you for our church. God, we just pray you would show up in a mighty way tonight. Give us what we need, Lord. Only you can do that.
Right.
And God, we pray that you would. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Thank you for standing. You know, folks, if an outsider viewed this group of people in a different setting, I'm talking about us here in the room tonight, if they saw us in a different setting, there would seem to be nothing in common amongst us. Nothing that would seemingly bind us together. A lot of us have different backgrounds, different upbringing. Some people have different education levels, different jobs. Some of your jobs I don't want, you know. Some of you guys climbing towers, cutting down trees. I'd kill myself in about 2 days with that. So glad I don't have that job. On purpose, I don't have that job, all right? Don't want that job, all right? But different people have different income levels, different financial statuses. We're still waiting for them rich people to show up to our church, but they must go to other places. But that's okay. Yeah, our quotient on the rich people is a little low, but that's okay. That's all right. God provides, all right? But everybody has their own different financial statuses. We live in different places. Some people have different ethnicities. Some people were born in different countries. And some people can speak other languages. Congrats for you, all right? And some people have different interests. My brother on the front here, Brother Robert, likes snakes.
Amen.
Me and Miss Delmy, and I think the majority of the other people in the room, we don't, all right? Not at all. My interest when a snake is around is for me to get out of there as soon as possible, get as far away as possible very quickly. We have different pursuits, different hobbies.
Yep.
Some people say, I have some free time. I want to go fishing. I'm thinking, what are you doing? You know, like pastor says, it's at the store already. You know, just go there. But if you like to do that, that's great. Listen, some people love social media. They spend a lot of time on it. Other people don't deal with it at all.
No.
Folks, what I'm trying to say is if someone that didn't know us walked in and we're in a different situation, a different setting, they see this group of people and they would think, why are those people together? They have no commonality. You have people from this age to that age. You have people from this country and people that were born in this country. You have people that speak this language and people that speak that language. Folks, it's not our political persuasion that brings us together. It's not our common interest that bring us together. It's not that the hobby you enjoy is necessarily the hobby I enjoy.
Right.
Hey, I like sports. I like baseball. And some of you are like, so? You know, I don't care about that. Well, you can get right with God. No, I'm kidding. But listen, I like those things, but other people have no interest in it. I remember years back, it was middle of a blizzard, Brother Bob. Somebody needed to pick me up, bring me to church because you know, the hill where my mom lives. It's not real conducive to getting your car out when we had a foot or two of snow or whatever it was. And it was Super Bowl night, right? So I get in this person's car, thanking them for bringing me to church, and it's Super Bowl night. So Brother Chuck, I'm trying to find easy conversations to start. I'm like, so who you for in the Super Bowl? This guy goes off for like the next 10 minutes of, I can't stand professional sports, and all these guys are criminals and all. And I'm just like, oh, you know, like, so do you like anything else? You know? But folks, these are not the things that bind us together.
That's right.
Listen, if someone from the outside were to look at us and say, what are all those people doing together? Can I tell you what it is that brings us together? It's not our common interests. It's not, like I said, our hobbies or so forth. You know what it is? It's that we've been saved and transformed by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, that's what brings us together. It's that we love and we have an inward commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Our allegiance is to Him.
Amen.
Can I tell you what brings us together is that we believe this Bible, the King James Version, is our only rule for what to believe and how we should behave right here.
Yes.
That's what brings us together. That's why you're here on a Wednesday night.
Amen.
Listen, that's what brings us together. And in a word, what brings us together is that we're Christians.
Amen.
We're in the same family, God's family. And here in Acts 11 verse 26, this is actually the first time that this term comes up, Christians. Before this occasion, sometimes the Christians back then, the believers, were called those of the way.
Right.
That comes up several times in the book of Acts. But at the end of verse 26 here in our passage, it says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. This is the first time that this term popped up. The term originated. It was invented here. You know, the term Christian only pops up three times in the Bible. It's kind of strange. You would think it would be very frequently used, but it only pops up three times. This, of course, is the first occasion. Then at the end of the book of Acts, you have Paul witnessing to King Agrippa, and he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.
Right.
That's the second occasion. And then in 1 Peter, when Peter is writing that epistle to the Christians that are suffering and struggling, he says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed.
Right.
By the way, if you're encountering a hard time because of your stand for Christ, you don't have to be ashamed of that.
Right.
You don't have to put your head down and feel bad about it. Listen, you're on the Lord's side. And in the book of Acts, it talks about how they rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Right.
I don't know if I always think like that, because usually when suffering comes our way, we don't enjoy it.
Right.
But you know, if we're doing it for the Lord, that should be a badge of honor that he allows us to suffer for his name. But folks, it's that we're Christians. I'm sure you know, listen, the word Christian, those three letters at the end of the word, I-A-N, it means a follower of in Latin. It means a follower of, and then obviously you put Christ's name there. We are followers of Christ.
That's right.
That's what a Christian is.
Amen.
Okay, we are followers of him. We obey his teachings. We try to follow his laws and his rules, and we're trying to be like him.
Amen.
Listen, again, folks, it's not what we're all about. We live in this crazy day and age where, you know, people identify as this and identify as that. They don't know what they are anymore. It's a very weird and wacky time that we live in. But listen, folks, you don't just identify in your life according to your political party or your favorite team or your clothing or your name brand stuff or your nice car, or your nice house. Listen, that's not really who you are. Listen, it's not even your race or your style. It's not your achievements and how much money you make and your 401k. Listen, that's not who you are. Can I tell you who you are tonight? You're a Christian. That's your real ID. Listen, a couple years ago in Maryland, they had this program where if your driver's license, you had to go back into the MVA and get a different one because for some reason, I guess the old one wasn't secure anymore and people could get your info off of it. So you had to go back in. I hope you did this. This was a couple years ago. All right? If you didn't, maybe you need to take care of that. All right. But listen, you had to go back into the NBA. They would take your old one and then give you a new one, which I guess was more secure. They called it the Real ID program. Folks, can I tell you, your real ID tonight, again, is not that you're a Republican. Your real ID tonight is not that you like this football team or that football team. Your real ID is not where you live or what you drove into church tonight or what you're wearing on your body tonight. It has nothing to do with that. Your real ID is that you are a Christian, a child of God. And that's what it's all about. And you know what I'm concerned about tonight? I'm not just trying to teach you about the word Christian. What I'm concerned about tonight is that I and you, we live worthy of that name.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, you're a Christian. When you go to your job this week, you're a Christian. Yes.
Right.
You stand out whether you realize that or not.
Amen.
Listen, people know that you go to church in your neighborhood. They saw you walking out of your house, carrying your Bible, dressed up tonight. Can I tell you, worldly people don't do that?
Right.
They see something different about you. You're a Christian. That's really who you are. That's your real ID. And we need to live worthy of that name. Paul said in another one of his epistles, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You know what he's saying? That's in Ephesians 4:1. He's basically saying you have a high calling.
Yes.
He says live up to that.
Yes.
Now that's a full-time job. That's difficult. That's not easy. Amen. But he says walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. He's saying you're a Christian. Listen, you're not just like the average run-of-the-mill person in this world. You're not a child of Satan anymore. You're now a child of God. He's saying, that's what you've been called to. He said, live up to it. Walk worthy.
Amen.
Folks, I want to preach to you quickly tonight about that thought, real ID. What is your real ID? You're a Christian.
That's right.
And you know what we need to do? We need to live worthy of that name.
Amen.
Listen, when you walk in your job this week, are you living worthy of that name?
Right.
Listen, when you're with your family this week, are you living worthy of that name? Listen, even more important than your last name is the name that you are a Christian.
Right.
You belong to the Lord. You're in His family.
Amen.
Let's find out more about that as we get into this story. I want you to see about this message, the real ID. First of all, there was a distinctive routine. Listen, you know, we'll work our way through this passage, but you know why these people were called Christians? Because they lived differently.
Right.
They didn't do what everybody else did, and they did some things that no one else did.
Right.
Listen, they lived differently, and I think there's a sprinkling of info throughout this chapter that tells us about that, the distinctive routine. I want you to see here in verse number 21, first of all, it talks about these people got saved. It says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Can I tell you, right then and there is when they got saved.
Yep.
They believed in Christ, and they turned unto the Lord. And when you turn to the Lord, you are turning away from your sin. Repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin.
Right.
Listen, that's the precise moment when these people got saved. Can I tell you, there better be a time in your life when you can go back to. You may not know the exact date. You may not know all the specifics of that time and where you were and who talked to you and all that kind of stuff. But can I tell you, you should know that a change happened in your life. You should know that Christ came to live inside of you and that you became a new creature and all things are passed away. And all things are become new.
That's right.
That's the precise moment that these people got saved. They believed and turned on the Lord. When's the time that you believe and that you turned unto the Lord? Listen, it may have been in this church. It may have been on a bus route riding into church. It may have been in a classroom. It may have been on the front steps of your house.
Right.
I don't know where it was, but do you have a time that you can go back to?
Amen.
And say, that's when I met Jesus. That's when He came into my life. And by the way, when He comes into a life, He changes everything.
Yes, He does.
He changes everything. The precise moment. Do you remember that time?
Yes.
Listen, can I tell you, unsaved people don't have that time.
No.
They can't go back to that date. They can't go back to that memory in their mind. They never trusted Jesus Christ. They're not saved, but we are.
Right.
That's a distinctive routine. The precise moment they got saved. But can I tell you also, though, when you have that salvation, sometimes there's going to be a little persecution that comes your way.
Right.
Verse number 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Hey, that's several chapters ago, but you know what? The effect is still out there.
Right.
And people are still running for their lives. Why? Because Stephen got martyred for his faith. And they started going after other Christians too.
Right.
There was some persecution. Now I'm thankful for almost 250 years here in this country.
Yeah.
We haven't had that kind of persecution.
Right.
We have freedom. We have liberty. But can I tell you, more and more it's beginning to grow that there's more opposition and more pressure against
right.
us. We caught a taste of it a few years ago with COVID that they're trying to shut down churches and that they're trying to lock people up. Listen, folks, I hope that's way off in the future. But can I tell you, it's probably coming sooner than we think.
Right.
That's right.
The persecution. But listen, even when it's not to that level on your job, in your family, when you take a stand for Christ, sometimes you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
Somebody won't like it sometimes. The Bible says, yea, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
You know what that's saying? If you are aggressively trying to take a stand for the Lord, listen,
Right.
If you just go to your job and never say a word and never tell anybody about church and never give out any tracts and never tell people that you go to church and that you're praying for them or any of those kind of things, then listen, nobody's going to know. You probably won't face much pressure. But can I tell you, if you're trying to live the Christian life, that's what that verse is saying in 2 Timothy. Yea, all they that will live godly. Can I tell you, that's some effort, that's some aggressiveness, that's you're trying, you're giving out those tracts, you're praying for people, you're inviting people, you're taking a stand. Amen. When the lady walks by not dressed right, you're not looking at it.
Right.
You're distinctively Christian. Can I tell you, when you live that kind of way, there's going to be some pushback.
Right. Yep.
There's going to be some persecution.
Yep.
People aren't going to like it all the time.
That's right.
The precise moment they got saved, the persecution that arose, at the end of verse number 19, it says, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And then at the end of verse number 20, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. You know, folks, the precise moment you got saved, you need to go back to that in your mind. Sometimes it's going to encounter some pushback that we're going to face. But can I tell you, also part of our distinctive routine, living like we do as Christians, it includes preaching. And I'm not just talking about a man that stands up behind the pulpit and yells at you like I'm doing right now. Listen, you know what we're primarily talking about? Preaching the gospel to other people, giving out those tracts, inviting people, witnessing to them, telling them how they can go to heaven. Listen, that's all of our jobs.
That's right.
If you are a child of God, that's your job. That's your responsibility, just as much as it is mine.
Amen.
So don't excuse yourself and say, well, I'm not a preacher. No, you preach the gospel. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's to every Christian.
Right.
He's telling us that's our job, to tell everybody about it. They preached to these people. They were telling them about the Lord. They were spreading the word. Listen, that's our job as well. Listen, how you doing with that? Listen, pastor's doing a great job of putting a focus and emphasis on it. And every week we have people standing up. I got to lead this person, Lord. That's great. That's great. And listen, if you haven't been a part of that, I'm not here to slam you down. But can I encourage you? Just try. Can I tell you? Listen, you know the people that lead the most people to the Lord? Those that try the most.
That's right.
And listen, sometimes, Brother Bob, they swing and miss.
Yep.
But you know what? You keep swinging, after a while, you're going to hit something.
Right.
Listen, and if you keep trying, you keep giving out tracts, you keep witnessing to people. Listen, sometimes they won't pray with you. Sometimes they'll turn you down. But sometimes they'll accept Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Yeah.
Keep going after it.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep going after it.
Good.
Preaching the gospel. And by the way, if you're a little confused about it, you know who we preach? We preach Christ, crucified. Listen, that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He said, we preach Christ, crucified. We're not trying to change it. We're not trying to adapt it. We're not trying to update it for this new culture. No. We preach Christ, crucified. People say, what will that do? That'll change your life if you believe in him.
Amen.
The preaching. And then after these people get saved, the gospel is preached, they get saved, they're encountering some persecution. Verse number 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. You know why he went out there? Because he had care and concern and pity for these new believers. By the way, as the gospel is spreading, it talks about these different cities of Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. Most of these are Gentile cities.
Right.
So the gospel is spreading into new territory.
Yes.
And the Jews back in Jerusalem here, that some Gentiles are getting saved, and they send out Barnabas. Barnabas is the encourager. Barnabas is the one to build people up.
Amen.
Barnabas is to help. Go there to help them, and he's the perfect one to help them. He goes there, let me read verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord.
Amen.
Listen, he goes there and he cares for them and he has pity on them. Folks, can I tell you, part of being a Christian is not only that you got saved, it's not only that you get persecuted sometimes, it's not only that you preach the gospel to people, but it's that you have pity on one another.
Amen.
It's that we care for each other and that we care for unsaved souls trying to get them the gospel.
Amen.
The Bible says in 1 John 3:17, it says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, get this question. He says, how dwelleth the love of God in him?
Amen.
It's saying if God's giving you some stuff and you see one of your brothers in Christ that's struggling, that's suffering, and you don't do anything about it, you know what the Bible's saying? You sure you love God like you should?
Right.
You sure God's love is in you like it should be?
Right.
Sure, that's challenging. That's challenging. But listen, do we have pity on other people? Listen, I know who I'm preaching to. You people are very giving and very generous and very sacrificial. And thank God for that. But can I tell you, that's part of us belonging to the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Because in our own humanity, we're selfish, we're greedy, we take all we can get and keep all that we can.
That's right.
But can I tell you, when we belong to the Lord, we care about other people.
Yes.
I challenge my guys sometimes, but it's a challenge to me too. Listen, maybe sometimes we need to see that new person that comes in and we sit beside him and we put our arm around him and we say, hey, I'll be your friend. Listen, people need that.
Amen.
People need that. We can't just say, oh, they'll figure it out. Would you have?
Amen. That's right.
Probably not.
Right.
We need to have pity and care and concern upon other people. And then, as we already read at the end of verse 23, that Barnabas exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Can I tell you, there needs to be some persistence in your Christian life?
Yeah.
Hey, folks, listen. You need to think back to the time that you got saved. You need to preach the gospel to people. There may come persecution from time to time. You should care for those around you. But there needs to be persistence in your Christian life. You need to stick with it. I'm glad when Barnabas showed up there that he had a message to preach to these people. And you know what his message was? Stick with it.
Yeah.
Stick with it. He says that with purpose of heart, you would cleave unto the Lord. Cleave means to cling to. It means to hold tightly. It means to not let it go. And folks, it has nothing to do with salvation because you're not holding your salvation. Jesus is.
That's right.
But he's saying in your service for God, in your serious for God, you got to hold on tightly. Because can I tell you, everything in this world is trying to rip that away from you.
That's exactly right.
Listen, once you get saved, you're always saved. But how about your walk with God here on earth? Are you just going to let that go freely? Are you just going to let that go get away easily? Are you going to hold tightly to that? I love the wording that he gives here. He says that with purpose of heart. Can I tell you, you have to do that on purpose.
That's right.
Listen, if you make it to the end of your Christian life successfully, victoriously, that's not going to be an accident.
That's right.
That's going to be because you purposed and you went after it every single day.
Amen.
I was talking to a young man in the back of church after church Sunday night, and I gave the reference to him, Brother Chuck, Psalm 91:1. I said, you may not know it, but look it up. I said, you're going to need that because that's the verse that says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what it's saying? You know what that verse is saying? We're weak, but he's strong.
That's right.
And that if we'll scoot up close to him, he can protect us. He can give us the power. He can give us the energy. He can give us everything we need to keep on going.
Yes.
Hey, folks, there's no need to quit. There's no need to get discouraged and say, I can't do this anymore. You never did it in the first place.
Right.
It's always been God through you.
Amen.
And that's what you need today. You need him to recharge you and keep you going for him.
Amen.
The persistence. Stick with it. You have to do it on purpose. There has to be some perseverance. He said that you would cleave unto the Lord. And then it's personal. Notice what he says. Verse 23. Purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. He does not say that you need to cleave unto the church, although you should be faithful to church.
That's right.
He didn't say you need to cleave unto your ministry, although you should be faithful in your ministry. Listen, you know what it's all about? It's about you cleaving to the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, you didn't get in. Listen, you did not get in this Christian life because you thought the church building was so fancy or because all the people were so nice to you. You know why you got in this Christian life? How you became a member of God's family? You heard about an old rugged cross. You heard about a Savior that bled and died and suffered for the sins of mankind. And you realized that he didn't just die for the whole world. He died for you individually. And you saw yourself as a sinner on your way to hell. And you saw that Jesus died for you. And you accepted him as your Savior. Can I tell you tonight, whether you like the sermon or not, you need to cleave unto the Lord. He's been too good to you and too good to me.
That's right. Amen.
It's not just that we go along with the social flow in Woodlawn. It's not just that, well, Kiara, if I quit, man, I'm going to let a lot of people down. And that is true. But you know, ultimately, I'm going to let the Lord down.
Right.
And I don't want to let him down.
Right.
He's never let me down.
Right.
Never let me down. And he never will.
Once.
Listen, the persistence. Do you have that? Do you have that? Listen, I'm thankful that we have plenty of people you can go to in our church. Listen, they've been at it for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. That's a blessing. Listen, we need more of that. Off subject, can I just deal with something real quick? You know, we need more faithfulness in our young adult age bracket.
Good.
Listen, we need more faithfulness there. Listen, in the 20s and 30s and 40s, we need more of that. I talked to Zach about it. Zach travels all over the country, as you guys know. He says most churches he goes to, they have kids, some teenagers, they have older people. Something's missing. Right. Something's missing. Listen, we need to get dedicated now. Listen, your life is not about your job. Your life is not about all the trips that you take.
Right.
Your life is not about all the memories you make. Your life is about Christ.
Amen.
Listen, let's get faithful now.
Yes.
You say, well, why are you preaching this to a sparse crowd on a Wednesday night? I don't know, but God put it on my heart, and I'm telling you, we need that nowadays.
Amen.
We need it.
Right.
It's not a joke.
Yeah.
Listen. The Christian life is not you play around and fool around until you're 40 or 50 and then say, you know what? I better get serious about this thing. Why don't you get serious now?
Yes. Amen.
Let's all of us do that. I'm not
right.
Banging anybody. I'm saying I need to step it up.
Yes.
We all do.
Amen.
Listen, we don't know how much time we may have left.
That's right.
Doesn't it say we don't know what tomorrow holds? Listen,
right.
Isn't that in the Bible? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Your life is a vapor.
Yep.
It appears for a little time, vanisheth away. Oh, I plan to serve God when I turn 45. What if you die at 30?
Right, we serve.
What was it, about 28, 29? Someone just
yeah.
passed away?
Right.
It happens.
Yeah.
We don't like to think about it, but it happens.
That's right.
Let's serve God now. You know the only thing that's guaranteed to you right now.
That's it.
Yep.
The persistence, stick with it. And let's make
yeah.
it personal. You know why you should serve God? Because of all that he's done for you.
That's right.
It's not whether pastor says the right exact thing to kind of convince you into it. No, all the convincing you need should be to look
yes.
at that cross and realize what he did for you.
Amen.
Say, Jesus, after all you've done for me, what in the world can I do for you?
Yes.
Right. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Persistence. And there's a pattern of faithfulness. Verse number 26, it says, so Barnabas goes to get Saul, who we know as the Apostle Paul. They show up in verse number 26 to that church in Antioch. They're working there. They're preaching. They're winning souls. I want you to pick out this phrase, though. It says, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. There was a pattern of faithfulness.
Right.
You say, what are you talking about, Tom? I'm talking about as Christians, we have a distinctive routine. We do things that no one else does.
Right.
And by the way, don't be embarrassed when people call us out about that. That's a good thing.
Amen.
They're noticing a difference in us.
Yes.
They're noticing that we're not like everyone else.
That's right.
Listen, they assembled themselves a whole year in the church. You say, what happened after that? They were called to be missionaries in chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas. And God sent them out and they began on their missionary journeys.
Amen.
A pattern of faithfulness. Hey, the Bible still says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
Right.
Listen, there needs to be a habit that we have and there needs to be a hunger that we have. When we show up to church, it shouldn't just be, yeah, I went, check, check, check.
Oh.
It should be, God, give me something,
yeah.
please. I need you, God.
Right.
And folks, can I tell you all those things I mentioned, that you got saved, sometimes persecution comes, you preach the gospel, you have pity on others, you're persistent, you stay at it, and you have this pattern of faithfulness. Can I tell you the purpose for all of it? We love him because he first loved us.
That's right.
Listen, you don't do your route because they twisted your arm.
Right.
You don't teach your class because they couldn't find anybody else. Listen, and you shouldn't show up to church tonight just because you have to, because if you don't, I mean, somebody's going to throw you a text message and say, where were you? It's not about that. Listen, it's about that you should love him because he first loved you.
Yes.
That should be the purpose for everything that we do.
Amen.
Everything that we do. We do things that no one else does. We try to win souls. We try to live holy. And can I tell you, this is a hard one, but we're supposed to forgive people. That's not easy. That's not
right.
easy. But it's a distinctive routine. You know what the world does when they look at us? They say, who does that? Who does that? You know, we're supposed to. Should
right.
be us.
That's right.
The distinctive routine. Can people look at your life and see a distinctive routine? Man, every Sunday they're going to be at church.
Yep. Amen.
Man, all the time they're going to be faithful. They're going to be doing what they're supposed to do. They're going to be trying to give me those tracts and invite me and tell me
Amen.
I need to accept Jesus and all this kind of stuff. Listen, they're always going to be about that. Listen, that needs to be the way that we live
Amen.
All the time.
Yes.
The distinctive
Amen.
Routine.
Good.
Then point number two, there's a definite resemblance. You know, when the world saw what these people were all about. They preach the gospel. They get persecuted, but they stay at it. They have persistence. Every Sunday, they're at the house of God, and they do these things over and over and over and over again. They do it because they love the Lord. Right. At the end of verse number 26, it says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Right. They saw them. They watched them. And they say, you know what? There's a definite resemblance there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They recognized their conduct. They saw their lives. Like the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They recognized their conduct and they realized that they remain consistent. Yeah. Can I tell you that's a key? Because sometimes we start out well, and I'm not trying to slap anybody around, but sometimes we start out well and we talk a big game and then 2 weeks later we fizzle out. Can I tell you, that's confusing to the world.
Right.
Because they say, listen, I know a Christian's supposed to live this way, then why don't you? I know a Christian's supposed to be at church, then why are you home?
Right.
I know a Christian's supposed to care about those around them, but then why don't you?
Right.
And listen, I'm not the perfect Christian either. I'm just saying, it's confusing to the world when we live a contradictory life.
That's right.
As pastor says all the time, it seems like most unsaved people have a better idea of how Christians should live than Christians do.
Right.
The recognized conduct. We need to remain consistent. You remember I said they assembled themselves a whole year? They stayed consistent. Listen, the Bible says we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Right.
In 2 Timothy, it talks about that we need to continue thou in the things which we have learned and been assured of. Listen, the stuff you know you're supposed to do, continue with it. Stay with it. Stay at it. Don't give up. Don't slack up.
That's right.
They saw their actions. They saw that they remained consistent. They sustained it. Man. I tell the guys in my class sometimes, listen, sometimes it's easy to start off well, but what are you going to do when people start criticizing you
right.
and talking about you and you
right.
face some problems and it's not always fun?
Right.
Can I tell you, that's the key right there. That's crunch time. That's when you got to push through it and say, I'm not giving up on this thing.
Right.
I'm going to stay with it. Can I tell you, the world is waiting and they want us to collapse? They want us to fall apart?
Yeah.
I remember hearing of a story. A guy told me, he said, when he got saved and started telling people at his job, he got saved, he's giving out tracts. One guy said, I'll give you about a month before you quit.
Yeah.
Hey, the world wants us to quit. You know why? Because when we quit, it gives more justification to their lifestyle.
Right.
Saying, oh, there's nothing to that Christianity. But when we live... when we live for the Lord and stay faithful over the
Amen.
Long haul, you know what? It proves not just by what we say, but how we live. There is something to it.
Yeah.
That Jesus does make a difference in our lives.
Yeah.
But they recognize the conduct. They remain consistent. They saw that. They remain consistent. And you know what? I love this. Folks, it says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They were called followers of Christ for the first time here.
Amen.
And you know the cool thing about it? It wasn't that the Christians were calling themselves Christians.
Right.
It wasn't that they planned a secret meeting, Brother Bob and Brother Robert said, we need a catchphrase. We need a buzzword. We need something that's catchy, that'll click in people's minds. And as soon as we say it, bam, it's out there. They know who we are. It's nothing about that. They didn't plan this up. Listen, there was not at the Church of Antioch a whole room full of people printing up bumper stickers saying, we are Christians.
Right.
You know who called them Christians? The unsaved people.
Yeah, that's right.
The people that didn't come to that church called them Christians. Why? Because they saw something distinctive in their life. They saw something different about them. And they watched their lives. They saw that they remained consistent. They didn't fizzle out. And you know what they said? You know who that reminds us of?
Yep.
The way they lived, that reminds me of Jesus.
Amen.
Folks, in the book of Acts, where we are right now, this is just about 10, 12 years after when Jesus died on the cross, arose, and ascended back to heaven. Some of those people probably saw Jesus.
That's right.
Listen, they saw how he lived. They saw how he acted. And now they see this group of people that's supposed to be followers of him. They watch their lives. They scrutinize their lives. They want them to fall, but they just continue on. They say, you know what?
Right.
Nobody else can do that except like that man did years ago. Jesus, who died on that cross and rose again. He's made a difference in their lives.
Yes.
And can I tell you, he's still living today and he still makes a difference in people's lives.
Right.
May it be that they see it in us.
Amen.
That they see it in us. The reminder of Christ. They say, man, there's a striking similarity. They linked it with him. There was an unmistakable connection. Listen, I talked about we need to be soul winners. Can I tell you Jesus was a soul winner?
Right.
Hey, John chapter 3, he goes after Nicodemus and he's saying, you must be born again. Yes. Brother Chuck, he's coming right out of the chute saying, you need to be born again or you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell, buddy. That's a conversation starter right there. All right. John chapter 4, he must needs go through Samaria. It wasn't because he was thirsty and he needed a drink. There was a lady on her way to hell that Jesus had an appointment with. She didn't know about it, but he knew about it. And he was going to give her the gospel, the living water.
Yes.
Can I tell you, on his dying day, he's hanging on the cross, and that man next to him said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus turns to him and says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Yes.
He was a soul winner.
Yes.
He lived holy. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin.
Right.
Listen, Jesus lived holy. Do you live holy?
Amen.
You say, I can in of my own strength. That's right. But you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you.
Amen.
You say, Brother Tom, you talk about forgiveness. Man, I don't like doing that. Can I tell you, I don't either. That's not one of my favorite commands in the Bible. But can I tell you, Jesus forgave people.
That's right.
And I'm sure it's a lot more than we'll ever have to face, Brother Bob.
That's right.
He's hanging on the cross, and he looks down and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think that's a bigger problem than most of us have had.
Right.
Yeah.
Listen. Excuse me.
It's on.
It is on. Thank you, Brother Bob. Someone's listening. All right. I'm just trying to wake people up. That's all. Listen. Really? No, I'm just kidding. That's a shocker right there. Good grief. Wow. All right. Listen, the distinctive routine and the definite resemblance. Can the world look at you and say, there's something different about them? And they watch you over time and they scrutinize you and they say, you know what? It's got to be Jesus. The way they act, they just act like him. Hey, folks, in your life, we're not talking about physical appearance, but in your life, does it resemble the Lord at all? At all. And then lastly, number three, the declared response. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. As I've already told you, the source of this comment was not the Christians calling themselves Christian. It wasn't that they were wearing t-shirts that said, we are Christians. Listen, the source of this comment was from the unbelievers, from the unsaved. It says they were called Christians. Someone else was calling them Christians. Hey, what would they call you? What would they call me? If they watched our lives, what would they call us? You know, I believe in things that I've read, this was probably a slight on these people. This was probably a diss and a criticism, mockery of them.
Yeah.
But can I tell you, they may have meant it for criticism and to mock them and to ridicule them. But can I tell you, it's a supreme honor to be called a Christian.
Yes.
It's a privilege. It's priceless. And folks, in a good way, we should be proud of that.
That's right.
That we get to be called sons of God, children of God.
Amen.
John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Amen.
When you got saved, at that very moment, you became a child of God.
That's right.
And now you will forever be a child of God.
Amen.
1 John 3:1, great verse. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Listen, what an honor, what a privilege, what amazing love it was that he called us to be his sons, that he transformed us to become his children.
Amen.
Once and for all. And now it says, and now we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him.
Amen.
And can I remind you, there was a large price that was paid so that we could become Christians.
That's right, man.
We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You don't belong to yourself anymore.
That's right.
If you're saved, you do not belong to yourself anymore. You belong to him.
Exactly. Amen.
He bought you with his blood, the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Right.
Listen, because of his shed blood, because of his death and resurrection, that's how we became Christians in the first place. That's a high honor. That's a high privilege. Listen, when people make fun of you for being a Christian, as I said, that should be a badge of honor to us. We should be in a good way proud of that, saying, thank God that I get to suffer for my Savior in just a little way after all he's done for me.
Amen.
And the last thing I have to say, folks, is we should have seriousness about this. Listen, every day you wake up, you're a child of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Every place you go, listen, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm the youth pastor of this church, I'm a husband. Recently, a couple of months ago, I became a father, and I appreciate those things. Those are important to me. But can I tell you, above all of those, I'm a Christian.
Right.
I'm a child of God. Folks, everywhere I go, I take that with me. Listen, folks, you can't drop it off when it's not convenient. You take that with you everywhere you go. Can I tell you, you did not earn the right to be a Christian. Listen, you accepted that. Jesus did all the work and you just accepted his gift. But can I tell you, you do earn your testimony.
Yes.
And you can have a good one or you can have a bad one.
Right.
We need to have seriousness about this. Listen, do you live worthy of that name? Do I live worthy of that name? We need to remember who we are.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, I believe if we remember who we are, if we remember our real ID, it should affect us in our neighborhood.
Yes.
It should affect what we watch at home.
Right.
It should affect how we talk to people. It should affect what we think about. It should affect what we listen to.
Yes.
It should affect how we dress. It should affect us on the job site. It should affect us everywhere and everything that we do. It should affect every area of our life.
Yes.
Paul said, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
Remember who you are. It should inspire you. It should motivate you. Can I tell you, when you're not feeling like living for God, you're still a child of God?
That's right. Sure. Amen.
It should motivate you. Listen, when you need direction, when you don't know where to turn in life, can I remind you, you're a Christian?
Yes.
Go to your Heavenly Father. Ask Him for direction. Let Him guide your path. It should give you drive and determination.
Yes.
Why? Because you're a child of God.
Amen.
Hey, folks, your real ID is that you're a Christian.
Yes.
That's more important than anything else in your life.
That's
listen,
right.
You may have a certain status on your job. You may be a manager and you may have other people under you. You may have different titles in this world, different responsibilities. All of us do. But can I tell you, way above all of that, you are a child of God.
That's right.
You are a Christian. That's your real ID.
Amen.
And you know what our job is? We need to live worthy of that name.
Yes.
Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Lord, I thank you for your goodness to us.
Amen.
God, I thank you for the privilege of being called your child, your follower. God, I pray you help us, help us, help us. We are all weak. We mess up every single day.
Right.
But God, we need your strength. And God, we want to live in a way that honors and glorifies you. I pray you would help us, Lord. Help us to remember that we're Christians. Help us to remember the price that was paid. God, that's been handed to us, Lord. Help us not to take it for granted.
Yes.
God, help us to live for you. And God, not be ashamed of what we face in this world, Lord. Help us to put you first all the time and to honor you with our lives. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. Folks, let's just stand for a moment. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you come and talk to him about it? Whatever he laid on your heart, why don't you come and say, God, I want to honor you with my life. I want to please you. I want to lift you up. What would they call you? They called them Christians. What would they call you?
Yeah.